the numbers that were coming out because, you know,
people are turning out in record numbers this year.
We said, you know what, a lot of people might stay home. And every single person that I talked to, even my boyfriend, said, you know, like, I'm like, every vote counts. Every single vote is
even
so
with
important.
That, even with that, the numbers came out today. At least 45% of all registered voters in this country did not vote at all.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine we pride ourselves on our democratic process. Our elections are the envy of the world. And people around the world do not understand that in presidential elections, on their best days, this year being an exception for sure, 40% of those who are eligible to vote will come out and vote. The other 60% will sit on their hands because they don't like the candidate, or they don't think their voice matters, mm-hmm. or they figure, you know, what's the point, or they're anarchists, or they just don't care about the process at all.
Or they're not paying attention, or they can't get child care, or they can't take time off work,
which is why I'm for the
early voting.
And making it a federal holiday.
Yes. Which is, you just bringing up early voting, I was surprised how many people...
Yeah.
Voted early.
Right.
It's crazy. I mean, is this like a new millennial thing that everybody like goes out? Because, you know, up until really this election, people were only voting early for absentee ballots.
Right.
We were seeing record numbers of votes.
This was the largest number of early voting mm-hmm. that anybody's ever
voted. And I'm not going to lie, like, I was nervous about early voting. I don't trust the system.
Yeah, I was nervous about it too. I didn't vote early.
I believed that I had to do it yesterday, where I actually manually put my vote into the system, and it is going to be calculated.
I won't lie. I went for the bake sale.
Yeah.
I got a banana cake this big. Banana bread.
Yeah. I had to stay clear of that.
No, I also was nervous about the early voting idea and wanted to see how it played out. And also didn't just plan ahead, so I voted on Tuesday.
You know,
but I think it is exciting because if you work on a Tuesday, which most people do, yes, the polls are open till 8 p.m., but
not everybody works those kinds of hours.
Right. Or you have kids. I mean, I can't imagine being in line, you know, missing a couple hours from work when you get paid hourly and you got three kids.
It's a project just taking the kids out of the car. Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine. And so I'm glad that there is early voting for people who want to take advantage.
But, you know, we have to, by the way, WMFO Medford, we have to figure out a way to get more people engaged in the process, though, mm-hmm. moving forward. Because think about this.
Regardless if you hate each candidate so much, it is our right.
It's even beyond that, though, Lisa. It's like if we could get somehow 80% turnout or 90% mm-hmm. turnout, think about how we could actually change the dialogue and actually change the caliber of the candidates that we get in this process. I mean, I looked at the candidates for this election cycle, Donald Trump notwithstanding. I mean, let's all agree to take that as read that we never expected that Donald Trump would actually be president.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we had like a whole slew of weak candidates on both sides.
Oh, absolutely.
Agreed.
You know, I mean,
there were some that came out, you know, at different times that I thought, in the beginning, I didn't like Kasich. I think that
Kasich wound up being the adult on the stage
exactly.
for most of those things.
It was a lot played out with the media. So, you know, just to kind of how this all happened and played out yesterday. So everybody voted. Donald Trump, he won these big swing states. And we were talking
about... Handily.
So Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, these are the areas that he should not have won. But,
you know,
you
as much as you want to, you know, say that the media played a part in it, you know, let's own the responsibility that media played in getting Trump elected as well. Because,
absolutely.
You know, look, I don't need the media to tell me what I think of Donald Trump. Watching him give speeches told me exactly what I needed to know. And, you know, and I took that from there.
There were so many outside factors, too, with this election, especially leading up into the last month. Look at everything that was happening with WikiLeaks. Every single day or every other day, we were getting new Podesta emails.
And,
that
you know,
were,
Hillary Clinton has been the most investigated public servant
for good reason.
In American history,
she's a criminal.
Well, they haven't proved anything.
But they
anything.
Haven't
they still
anything.
Haven't proved it. How many millions of dollars did we spend on Benghazi? That was the one reason why I didn't want to vote for Hillary Clinton in this election cycle, because I figured if we didn't flip the House or the Senate, it would be another 4 years of Benghazi.
Essentially, to me,
getting
you
done.
Had somebody that not only lied to, you know what, if you're going to lie to your peers, that's fine. If you're going to lie to the American people, that's fine.
And she,
but you lied in front of Congress. That is against the law. You are lying under
well,
oath.
Well, they still have yet to prove that she did anything. I mean,
and
that's the thing, you know.
The whole email thing has really turned out to be incompetence. A staff that did not think about the repercussions, and a technologically
but this
incompetent
was the, it was corporate
candidate.
Culture. This is, you know, business as usual.
But,
so we had these states, though. The, you know,
business,
you have to see what happened there. And really the big picture is, and putting all feelings aside, you see what happened. What he pulled off in each swing is amazing, especially in this area. Again, this area is the Rust Belt. It moves into Appalachia. It's not just white people. It was old people. It was people that have jobs, people that don't have jobs. And it's been hit so hard over the past 20 years. Whether this does make, and you said it perfectly, if people think that they're going to get a factory job, but it was some hope. It was, you know, the jobs that they do pay a fraction, but people are hurting, and they've been hurting for so long.
And I feel terrible about that. And we should be listening to these people who are mostly white and mostly non-college educated, and they deserve to make a living wage. But the minimum wage is too high in America for us to have factory jobs, and we can't just dismantle all the trade agreements like Trump says he's going to. And even if we do, like I said, we're going to need skilled workers. And you know what? We did not invest in vocational schools in this country. Look at Germany. They did.
Well, the vocational schools are closing now.
They're all closing. My husband can't get enough
Because
help.
Everything is Common Core now in school.
Absolutely.
It's basically English and math, and that's all you need to know.
And, you know, some kids work great with their hands, and they should have that option to have the vocational skills, but they need to know how to work with computers and advanced technology.
Think about when you were in high school, how many different opportunities you had to do these things, like home ec and woodworking class.
These are all educational things that get cut every time the belts need to be tightened.
And, you know, you find a lot of people find their passion. I remember taking a TV production class, and I fell in love with it.
See?
And I followed on. I mean, I went to a business school, but then ended up switching to communications. These are things that are getting cut.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, with things like Common Core, it's
And this isn't simply a partisan issue. It's not one side or the other. This is every time that budget constraints need to be taken into account. These are the kinds of programs that get the chop first. Art, music, vocational schools, all this stuff. I mean, I grew up during the era of Proposition 2.5. And, you know, saw like art and science and band uniforms and all kinds of stuff that you think, oh my God, this is just part of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even with parents willing to pay for it out of pocket for their children, and it still got cut.
Yeah.
So
third grade, they gave you a recorder so you could play.
Right.
It made me figure out if you liked to play music or not. You think you're going to go into elementary school now today in any of these communities and find a school that giving away recorders? No,
maybe at a charter school.
Well, that's where all the money's going.
That's right.
You know, I mean, but again, Mariel, we completely differ. The only thing that really made me happy is that she didn't win in this election. What it came down for. I think people were like looking around and saying, wondering, how did this happen? I mean, if you look on Facebook today, I think all people are aware of potential problems. Again, as I said, what could happen with Trump? I think we know what would happen with Hillary Clinton.
It's the devil you know versus the devil that you don't know.
Here's the thing. With Hillary Clinton, we would have gotten a continuation pretty much of Obama. It's a known quantity. The markets crashed because we don't know what we're going to get with Trump, because he'll say one thing.
Yeah, but
and
the markets,
the other.
That's just reactionary. It's the same thing
exactly.
That happened with Brexit.
Breakfast.
I'm hungry.
And you know what? They're trying to enact legislation to kind of like reassess.
No, and all
the
these
whole
numbers, you know, S&P was only down by like 20 points. Dow Jones bumped up another 200.
Well, they stopped trading around midnight, and then it rallied
feelings,
in the morning.
I have to say, you know, Hillary Clinton not being president, I can't imagine what was going through her head last night. And thinking, you know, I mean, this is something that she wanted to be president since she was a kid. This is 70 years in the making.
Her whole life has been leading up.
Yes, no, and that's reality.
And she was the most qualified.
Well, now she knows how Bernie Sanders felt six months ago.
But again, too many people like me believed that she is a criminal. That is
without
proper evidence.
But one could say that the media influenced your choice in that
and
as well.
I believe Donald Trump
but,
is a criminal.
No, but the thing is, I'm very proud to say what we do on this show is really taking a step back, and that's one thing that Derek, coming into politics. I was like everybody else, or the masses. You look on social media, you look at the news for those, not really having my own thoughts. Having my own thoughts, but not speaking out against them, and really analyzing. And through doing the show, I realized to take a step back, look at both sides, and never give anybody a different way to think about something, or make them change their mind, but give them...
Well, you got to give people something to think about
course,
as well.
Of course, absolutely. And everybody is entitled to their opinion. We've seen it today on social media. But I can't imagine that moment and thinking, you married this dope and you know, made him into president and then worked your way up. And you are going into this saying, I'm going against Trump. This is absolutely... my year.
Can we talk also just a little bit, and Lisa, I'm sure you don't see it this way, but sort of the anti-woman sentiment I felt that there was around the hatred coming from not the Bernie campaign, some Bernie, quote unquote, Bernie bros, and in the Trump campaign and in the media, there was anti-Hillary, yes, as the individual, but also anti-woman. And it was just so discouraging to me last night as a woman who's always been interested in politics, as a woman who, full disclosure, went to Wellesley College and was really excited to see the first female president be from my alma mater, but even for there to be a first female president. Mm-hmm. And just to think, what do you have to do? She's been in the public sector
her entire life. With my core.
What do women have to do to be more qualified?
I believe
she's
in my core
the qualifications.
That America is ready for a woman. I do. I do truly believe that. I believe that if it was the right candidate, we would have voted for it.
But where are the women? On my ballot, there were two women, Jill Stein and Hillary Clinton. I voted for Hillary Clinton. Down ballot, all the races where I was, it was only men. It was only men.
No, absolutely.
There aren't even enough women in politics. Yes,
it's very hard for women. That I will absolutely admit to. And it's the same thing with, you know, the corporate level and people saying it's a man's world. It's sad. It's sad that more women aren't into it. I love when I see the
There are barriers.
Absolutely. And I will agree with that. And it is very difficult. And it's a very hard world to be in. It takes thick skin. And don't get me wrong, it is amazing to see when you have two women going up against each other in New Hampshire fighting for a top spot. That is great. I do not believe, though, at all, that this country is, and I can say that honestly with confidence, I believe if it was the right person. We were seeing it just in the polls that were coming out with trust in her as a candidate.
But there has been hate and vitriol against Hillary Clinton since she has been in the national stage since 1992.
That is true.
But there has been plenty of reasons that have circled
around
her. But
this is before Benghazi.
Absolutely. I'm going to completely take a Benghazi.
And again, nothing's been proven and nobody's gone to jail.
Since 1992, people, you know, Bill Clinton comes out and everybody goes, Arkansas, who? Like, what is that? And I can now say, though, with confidence, the Clinton train is done. She's not going to be running for senator.
She's
done. Yeah.
So it's not just something that Benghazi, yes, I truly believe that that was something that was incredibly wrong. But there has been commentary that circled around her since 1992, just with her and her husband.
But why?
She separates herself, because there's always been private funding that's going, Clinton Foundation, people are coming out.
No, I'm talking about...
But there's been proven when all the money that surfaced from that firm that came out in the Maldives, that
I'm
money
just
has...
talking about your average Joe American just calling her that. It rhymes with witch. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it on the station.
Unfortunately, people that do use those words are the people that, you know, are driving around with the Trump stickers and screaming, you know, Trump's great. Even he said, I want to grab a vagina. Like, those
have you ever,
generally,
you know,
those.
I mean, I'm not even a sports guy, but like when I walk in Kenmore Square when there's a game and there's all these T-shirts, you know, with, you know, whoever does this and does that with animals, and like, you know, dad's there with his kids, you know, what does that say about our society in general? There's that infamous picture at a Trump rally where a guy with his wife and kids, and he's wearing a shirt where Hillary Clinton is called the C word.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he's there with his wife and kids at a Trump rally.
And if you think it's okay to talk about people that way, women that way, immigrants that way, I really have a hard time believing that you're not going to
reach across the aisle.
Exactly.
You know?
And punch someone
and
or
that,
act
that's,
on
that's,
it. But talking about reaching against
it,
the aisle,
it is,
what
there
I,
is a
but,
difference, but it's hard.
But you
and again, I understand that is our concern. Absolutely. And that's an incredibly valid concern.
Because, I mean,
don't forget, we had
Mitt Romney as governor here. We had Bill Weld as a governor. Let me tell you something. Bill Weld
Unfortunately, politics and corruption go hand in hand.
Bill Weld was an awesome governor for Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. You know, I regret not having voted for him. I voted for my friend Brendan. But he wound up actually being a cool guy. And for a lot of people that were interested in Gary Johnson, that was the only reason why they were interested, because Bill Weld was his running mate. Right. If Bill Weld was at the top of the ticket, the level of stupidity coming from that campaign wouldn't have been so great. Gary Johnson couldn't even name a world leader. If you're running to be a world leader, you should know a couple.
What's Aleppo?
Oh,
so cute. So cute.
Yeah, he actually did pretty well. But to me, and I guess I'm lucky that I surround myself with good people that don't have that mentality towards women, that I know many men in my life that did vote for her yesterday.
Of course.
And there is that sentiment. There are people that think like that. Again, I don't think that she was the right person. And again, you are somebody that does back her. You, Joel, I mean, you are kind of indifferent, but I think you have more of a hatred towards Trump.
I think it's more about, look, My feelings on Hillary are this. Okay, I may as well just get it all out here. Okay, first of all, I wanted to vote for Bernie Sanders because Bernie Sanders was at the core.
Yes, for the year that I've
so much closer
to what we've been
covering
this. We've been talking about.
You know, all of a sudden Bernie Sanders runs, and now it's not just a birthright for Hillary Clinton. Now all of a sudden we're talking about issues, we're talking about a platform, we're talking about money issues, we're talking about, you know, free college tuition, we're talking about all these things that should be talked about in a campaign that were hitherto undiscussed when it was just assumed that Hillary was, it was her turn. Mm-hmm. And that was that was what sat with me the worst was, oh, it's her turn. No. I mean, we had the same issue with Martha Coakley running for governor. Right. Now, yes. I have no love for Martha Coakley whatsoever because of what happened in Provincetown.
Yeah.
And, you know, she didn't even bother campaigning.
No,
she did
at all.
Not even bother campaigning. Nope. And that's why
it was like you just said, a birthright.
You know, but so what you got to do is, okay, well, you know, you look at the candidate and, you know, during the primary, you vote your conscience. You vote who you want to win. Mm-hmm. But then once it gets to the general election, you have to go with the issues. And, you know, I thought that Hillary Clinton has, you know, am I going to say that she doesn't have trust issues? You're damn right. She's got some trust issues. She's got Whitewater. She's got Benghazi. And, you know, look. Mm-hmm. I know why Benghazi happened. Benghazi was not her fault. Benghazi, she couldn't get the help because the Republican.
In your opinion.
Well, I watched the proceedings go down in the House.
Absolutely.
I watched the debates on C-SPAN. This isn't something that Rachel Maddow told me on MSNBC. I watched it happen.
But with regards to Benghazi, there's a lot more that's been circulating and has been coming out. Just the fact that, last month we had one of the arms dealers that was working with Iran, and there are emails that prove it, that she knew that arms were going through Iran. That's a huge no-no. If we ever got the emails that disclosed that any of those arms were moving from Iran to this guy that the DOJ gave immunity to right before the election, convenient.
Well, yeah,
if that happened, where we found out that Clinton knew that those arms, regardless if they were arms that were used in the attack at the consulate,
well, then that stuff
in Benghazi,
honestly,
that is huge.
But we can't prove that she knew.
Absolutely not.
And
we can't
arms
prove
dealers
those emails
are
even real.
Yeah,
so,
and
this stuff comes out 10 days before a major election. You got to question it.
You got to really question it.
You know, and the problem is nobody questioned it.
Yes, but there were so many people.
Let me continue my point. It's, you know, of course Hillary's got trust issues. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons why I didn't want to vote for her. I'm trying to give you a reason why I didn't want to vote for her, but I did anyway. You know, she's got credibility issues. She uses a lot of lawyerese, just like her husband. Now, Bill Clinton, a lot of people like Bill Clinton. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to go with issues. You know, I don't want Obamacare to go away. I want them to fix it so that it's a single-payer system the way every other civilized country in the world does that. Well, that has just ended. That ship has sailed. I wanted to gay rights for everyone. I mean, equal rights for everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, people not being discriminated because of who they love or what their sex is or what the color of the skin is
or their religion
or what country they came from. That ship has sailed. So a lot of these things that we've progressed towards as a progressive society, and I use progressive in a literal term, not in a political term, is now in danger of being undone. 50 years of progress is in danger of being undone.
See,
right,
I
now
I honestly can't see every progress that we've made, and then there are some things that you did touch upon, whether it be in trade deals or definitely there's going to be a massive change in healthcare.
Let me tell you what I like
talking
about Trump.
Do I believe that, you know, DOMA is going to come back? Absolutely not. These are things that have become such norms for us, become why even think about it, because this should be the land of law. Because Donald Trump is now going to be president, that is not going to change.
Well, we still have Paul Ryan, who's the speaker, and we have Tim Pence as vice president.
There's too many.
And Rudy Giuliani is going to be attorney general.
And there's not
enough
checks and balances.
But again, Trump was never, ever, you know, campaigning like he was going to run as this old school Republican.
I don't think he was expecting to win, honestly.
Right. Of course he wasn't.
Yeah, I don't think he was expecting to win. So he was going to say whatever he wanted to get in the headlines. And that bothered me as well.
Yes.
And then the other thing that I just got to get it out there. You know, I've always looked at the presidency, the president of the United States, as this really important thing that carried a lot of weight to it. A statesman, somebody with a purpose, somebody that could go to another foreign country and say,
look at the place
look,
that we have on the world stage. Absolutely, I can agree with that.
I think that ship has sailed now.
what's he gonna do? He's gonna go tell Israel to suck it. Like, what's he gonna do? I'm being hyperbolic.
Yes, of course.
Sorry,
it's not.
But that is what is frightening.
And for a lot of people like myself, who went and voted yesterday and decided not to vote for her, it was a, would I rather have, or if you did vote or do a write-in, would you rather have what people think is a criminal or have complete untrust with a nominee?
But people also think he's a criminal.
At least he comes out and said he's just a child rapist. I've been absolutely. But who has he? What child has he raped?
It's a 13-year-old.
The trial starts in December.
Actually, she dropped the charges now that he's president.
Oh well, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's a.
You know,
it's
but
the same
I mean,
thing. The DOJ that, drops
exactly.
You know, it comes very convenient that these things happen, not just with Benghazi. I mean,
but you know, I've been watching Donald Trump on the world stage now for 30 odd years.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know,
and again,
so,
this isn't a defend Trump.
I know what you're saying. Right.
I can't by any means, but for me, it was, I don't want my president to be my neighbor. I don't want my president to be my friend or be, and to a lot of people, it is role model.
And in 2000,
but I don't want that. I want somebody that's going to make change. I want somebody that is going to fix the problems that are happening here in America. And we talk about, yes, immigration to me, I believe, is a huge, huge problem. We have holes. When he comes out and says that we should get rid of all the Muslims here, that was one message that was completely skewed from the media. What he did say that, and to come out.
I watch those speeches. You can't tell me that was skewed.
But I understand we are in a state right now, and it's being downplayed a little bit in the media just because of what is going on with the election. There is huge problems that are happening right now in the Middle East. What is happening with ISIS? What happened in San Bernardino, Brussels, France?
What happened in California with the shooting yesterday?
No, and there's huge problems with guns, but we are in, if you want to say it or not, we're in wartime. And changes mm-hmm. need to be made in wartime. So if that means when you have the head of Homeland Security coming out and saying, we do not know who is coming through our system. We don't know. He said it right in front of Congress. I mean, you say you watch C-SPAN all the time. He said it. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That is a huge problem to me. And one of the reasons... things that I cared so much about is Homeland Security. And I started with immigration. That has nothing to do with it. But Homeland Security talking about we need to halt people coming into this country just for a short time and say, hold on, let's stop. Let's reevaluate. Because look what's happening right now in Europe. Look how many people are going through the system. Every single attack that happened went through the migrant that came from the Middle East. I mean, that's proven. That can happen here in America.
It could happen, but
and
you know,
I'm not being this crazy. Like everything's going to blow up here.
Nobody at this table thinks that you're crazy.
Care.
Absolutely.
No,
but you
Derek
know,
calls me the crazy gun lady.
But
so.
He
well,
did call
he,
you that
he did
last
actually.
Week.
Yes,
multiple times.
But I mean, you've got guns. You're safe. You don't have to worry about you don't have to worry about Mexicans coming into your lawn and threatening you.
But, everything, so many things that he's said,
maybe
has made my skin crawl. So many things that he's said is completely different from anything that I grew up with, my values, anything that I respect, anything that my family, anything that I would not keep that company.
Yeah,
what he said on that bus.
Ugh.
That isn't to me. No, that isn't locker room talk. I know plenty of people that have had that, but I had the conversation. Unfortunately, it's the guys that sit around at the dinner table, and I see it all the time, the businessmen that talk about basically come down to unzipping their pants and slapping their penis on the table just to see
sexual
who's
assault.
Bigger or not.
Yep, yep.
Right.
And,
no,
and the stuff that I have to listen to at work.
You basically just listed all the reasons why I didn't want to vote for Donald Trump.
But for many people.
And held my nose and voted for Hillary Clinton.
It was better. So I guess I'm here just to represent
but let's talk
the
about,
communal
but also
people that did vote for the president-elect. And everybody has there are different reasons.
Well, it reminds me of the year 2000.
So I guess I can only share with you why I couldn't.
Can I just say, if you think they're, like, if there's legitimate arguments on both sides to say that they're both criminals, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, and if you want to look at their crimes, and really, you're going to put someone who had sex with a 13-year-old girl,
again, but not proven.
Someone who brags about sexual assault, and his ex-wife, in a deposition, said that he raped her. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. That's
disgusting.
But again,
and this is why we have the judicial process, and you are innocent until proven guilty. Just like you said, Hillary Clinton is innocent until proven guilty, until I see these emails where I do believe in my heart she is corrupt to the core.
And she's been tried and convicted in the media.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mm-hmm. change.
No, absolutely.
None of that stuff changes
and
the speeches that Donald Trump made during this campaign.
What you want to hear or not, somebody that says that, where I've heard it so much, that grabbing vagina, and I don't have any respect for anybody that tries to purposely break up a marriage.
Right.
Or that purposely wonders if she's married or not, and, right. and if you're going to, I don't respect that. There was so much that I didn't respect, or was so frightened, and everybody has their difference with Hillary Clinton, that was the choice that I made. It's the choice that you made, why you hate Donald Trump so much, and that you couldn't find yourself yesterday going to the polls and saying, I hate that person so much.
I didn't vote against Donald Trump.
Yes, you are actually lucky and had a candidate that you did believe in. You have a candidate, and I'm envious of that. I'm envious of one of my best friends, who's my sister, that we've had screaming matches and love each other so much and have these completely different points of view. But at the end of the day, we come together, understand that we do have these differences. And I'm envious of somebody that has passion and a candidate that you can go and confidently vote for and believe that everything that they talk about is going to be better, is going to change. And this is WMFO Medford. If you have anything input on this and want to get in, it's 855-915-WMFO. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. And we're going to play some PSAs for you and a little song.
Bye. Sarah, and this is my story.
I'm Ellen, and this is my story.
One night, I was at a bar. I was having fun with my friends. I had one too many drinks. I got behind the wheel to go home.
I got a cab to go home.
All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road. It happened so quickly, I barely had time to react. I swerved.
The cab swerved.
I can't believe it. I hit a guy.
I cannot believe it. The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Don't drive buzzed. It's a decision you'll never regret. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to WMFO Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols with Joel and Mariel, and we are talking about the election tonight. This is The Big Picture. We are here with you every Wednesday night, and you can give us a call at 855-915-9636. And we're here for a little bit while longer. There's still, I mean, we could honestly talk for hours about the election, agree to disagree. There's a lot of disagreeing going on. And again, we talk about social media and how much that is taking a role, not only with people's point of views and sharing them, but it's so sad to see the anger that's happening between family members, between friends. I mean, I'm sure you guys saw a lot of that.
Well, yeah, try to be kind. You can still...
It's not just voice anger. It's also some serious fear, mm-hmm. and genuine, absolutely, genuine fear about what is going to happen on January 21st.
No, and again, I just used the analogy to, I feel like, or a lot of people think that they woke up with a losing lottery ticket, and you can't look at it like that. You have to think, yeah, I mean, you may not have the winning one, but you're still in it. You still have a possibility, and there is, and I do believe, and whether people think that I'm crazy or not, I believe that Donald Trump is going to surround himself with good people, and we are going to push forward. I believe that change, the much-needed change that I think that we need in this country, whether it be domestically, internationally, is going to happen, and I am hopeful.
Yep. I mean, I am less hopeful. I am fearful, actually. But if you are also fearful, I would say, you know, don't move to Canada. don't hole up in your house. Go out there. Talk to your elected officials.
Crashed.
The website crashed. Move to Canada. You know, support nonprofit organizations if the government can't support the programs that you believe in.
And call your congressman.
We say that so much on the show.
Call them.
And especially when we cover local stories and asking those questions, how does this happen? How do we make change?
Yeah.
Our voice is very loud if a lot of people are together.
Don't get mad, get active.
You can't just go online and vent about it. You actually, exactly like you just said, you need to be proactive. You need to be going to the meetings that are happening, that are taking place.
And let's remember that not everything happens at the federal level. Plenty of things happen at the state level. So you've got your state legislature that you can call, your local city or town council, mm-hmm. man or woman. So there's lots of ways for you to be active, even if you feel like you're not being heard.
But
the
world is
level.
Not going to end. It's not. It's crazy to me that people. But when it's happening, it's, you know, and like you just said, everybody that said they were moving to Canada, good. Have fun. Go. I would love to see you find another country that is so accepting of people to come in and live there as the United States is.
I wonder if that place in Ireland still has that island for all of us that want to come over to Ireland.
Yeah. How could you just say as accepting as the United States is when you said we should put a stop to, for a while, halt immigration in the last segment?
That's just regarding with people that are coming out of the areas that
the
there
refugees.
Is a huge influx. Yes. And in the vetting process. The vetting process has failed us very badly.
Well, there's nothing to vet. They don't have documents. They're refugees. They're fleeing
a war zone. Absolutely. I mean, I believe that if we go into a country and create such disruption, mm-hmm. we should absolutely take it in those refugees. But it is a different time and it is a different state, and that needs to be reviewed.
Well, I think the vetting process needs to be reviewed, but I don't think the people escaping persecution to come and live in the United States for safety should be turned away any more than they were turned away in any of these other...
The media is not covering enough of what is happening. You have children that are dying. I mean, it is a very, very sad state what is happening in so many of these areas in the Middle East. And it's just like, oh, let's put up blinders to everything. I mean, unless you actually go in and read the news and read these articles, you're not going to see it every single day. Some people rely solely on MSNBC or CNN.
Or they Fox News.
Show all matter. Of this.
Yeah. They don't. They don't. And
what has happened, it's just the election.
And, you know, the best way that you can be informed is, you know, don't just trust one news outlet.
Listen to our show.
Yeah, you could listen to the show right now. We're covering it right now.
We do a really great job.
Picture on WMFO in Medford.
And again, Joel, you'll have to come on. Meryl comes on, you know, every so often and has great insight. But we try to, when we're doing research for the shows, we're not looking at just one article. That was something that Derek taught me. Mm-hmm. You need to look at a couple different ones.
Yeah.
And it kills me when people use Facebook or Huffington Post or Salon.com as a sole reliable news source.
Multiple sources. Multiple sources.
I think it's nice to get different opinions.
In addition to that,
I think people have lost the ability to discern a news piece from an opinion piece. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, a lot of the right wing people that have like come out to defend Trump and, you know, show this article about Hillary Clinton, you just read the first paragraph. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what those useless libtards don't realize is that blah, 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 blah. You know, once you start
that. How much of media and news is all about the clickbait and.
Mm-hmm. And people don't. I'm not saying that they don't know, but I think people need to have better filters when they're looking at that stuff to realize that what they're reading is the opinion.
Yeah.
You know, well, you know, I mean, one person's opinion is another man's BS or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the point is, it's not just a matter of having a BS detector. It's being able to discern an actual news piece where they're talking about an event and then reflecting on that event versus something that's strictly an editorial. And there's been a lot of that mm-hmm. with this election cycle in the guise of news.
No, absolutely. I mean this is
and using MSNBC and Fox as an example.
Journalism is a craft that I studied in college and have such high respect for. And it kills me to see the state of media now, whether it be in print journalism or visual media.
The fourth estate is going away.
So sad.
It's really sad.
To see, because it is completely biased, it is completely skewed, and it is very clear how that played out in this election.
It most certainly did.
Major, major part of it. And so many people are saying, waking up this morning and asking the question, how did this happen? How did these polls get it so wrong? There's a great piece. If you go to Politico, I posted it on my Facebook, and I'll actually post it on our The Big Picture. If you go to Facebook, you can like us. It was a great piece saying you had all of these polls. They were there. They just weren't being reported on. Because whether it be bipartisan, they didn't think that the group that they were coming from was established enough. The polls were there. It was decided on who we're going to talk about in the polls.
Well, you know,
I mean, that's the fact.
Absolutely. Well, you know, every election cycle, we also completely ignore.
So the answers were there.
You know, we also completely ignore other parties that are running for election.
Oh, of course. That's where we make judgment. That's why, Mariel, you and I differ so different on two candidates, that we luckily live in a country where we are entitled to our own opinion. I'm somebody that if I don't agree with you, I'm going to have still the utmost respect for you.
Right. And what you were talking about earlier, the anger and the vitriol between people and across this country were so divided, and something that would help be something as simple as ranked choice voting. You know, your 1-2-3 choice, maybe you wouldn't feel as bad. Mm-hmm. Not just a two-party system. You know, you would at least feel like your voice got heard, just like Joel, you were saying, at least in the primary, you felt like your voice got heard. And Bernie did elevate a lot of very important issues. But
and there's so many things, though, that we can change. And we talked about it earlier, saying how we need to get rid of the Electoral College. Essentially, what you had is that 270 mark, but really these big states, and it's not by, and I was trying to explain it to somebody, it's not by the population, it's not by the size of the state that matters. This is how it's been for so long.
Right.
So you have these states like Florida.
A cesspool.
Yeah.
They did vote the right way on a solar ballot initiative.
North Carolina. Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. These are the states that are really going to call for it.
And Ohio.
And I think that's right. In Ohio. And once last night you started to see, and I think that was that moment and that I actually start to realize this is happening.
Yeah.
When you had North Carolina, Trump was up there. He wasn't leading. And then we see that he took North Carolina.
Right.
What's next? He took Florida.
Right.
He took, wait, what? He took Ohio.
Well, he didn't take Florida. Florida was up for grabs for a lot of hours.
But again, you need to look at the map. You had a map covered in red that speaks volumes.
Right, but then when you look at the popular vote, counting. Mm-hmm. I think they've got 97% counted last I checked. But she just eked out. Hillary Clinton just won the popular vote.
No, and absolutely. And I mean, a lot of the places where she is more popular in, New York City, if we're talking about Michigan, Detroit, these are all her land.
Yeah.
You have to really take the whole scope of America and look at across the board. I mean, he had high numbers in some states we're looking at, and not completely, and people that are saying that the South is revolting and coming back up. You had in some states numbers that weren't 54-46. We were looking at 65-35. But this is something that we have to accept. Again, we could talk so long. All I can say is, there's going to be plenty of topics on our show, so continue to listen. But, you know, it's over with. My political fatigue is somewhat remedied.
Yeah.
So thank you for your input. But yeah, as we end the show every week, what's hot? It's our favorite thing from this week. And it's always a good opportunity to talk about this past weekend. Again, I was on vacation, but I ended up in Portland. I always like to bring the newest thing in food or bars. So definitely check out, if you're in downtown Portland, go to Venna's Fizz House. It is not only a bar, but it's also a retail shop. If you are into cocktails or mixers, or they specialize in bitters and don't really know a lot about it, Steve is the owner, and my boyfriend and I got to sit down with him, and I was blown away. This is a former teacher who lost his job after 20 years and decided, hey, I'm going to go into the bar industry.
Whoa.
So it is so cool. I bought so many Christmas gifts.
Venna.
V-E-N-A. It is so cool, and they have a few snacks. You can go up and order a cocktail, a few stairs. Definitely check it out. You can check out their Instagram, them on Facebook. But what do you guys have? Mariel is a comedian, which talked about on the show. So any shows coming up?
Yes, I am in the Boston Comedy Festival, which is a contest next week.
Awesome. Definitely go to that. We push that on the show so much. It is so much fun.
Yeah.
And it's local.
It's local.
So any tough students listening in. And it's really inexpensive to go.
Yep, bostoncomedyfestival.com. If you particularly want to see me, I'm on November 16th at 9:30. I believe the venue is called Once in Somerville.
Very cool. No, they changed that from last year. It was at
Cuisine on Locale, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so it starts out with a couple, eight semifinals?
Yeah, so there's a...
So what round are you in?
So this is... I'm not sure. It might be four. I might be in round four. Mm-hmm. But last year I made it to the semifinals. So I'm just talking about right now the preliminary rounds.
Oh, the prelims. Okay.
You're going to see great comics from Boston, around the area, around New England, but also across the country. We got a lot of fun acts in, and they're doing big shows. I mean, I'll even, you know, promote national headliners like Kyle Kinane are coming. So there's definitely something for everybody, even mm-hmm. if you can't make it out to see me on November 16th.
The great thing about those shows, you get such a huge variety of not... I mean, you want to, of course, support local talent, but
sure.
it's a good excuse to get out during the week. And of course, we got to support you. I remember going to the show. I've been going for years to them.
Well,
big
thank
in
you.
The comedy scene. But yeah, you are amazing, and
thank
definitely
you.
We need to cheer you on.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
What do you got, Joel?
Well, of course, we've got our show that follows your show.
Yes.
On the Town with Mikey D. It happens each and every Wednesday from 9 to midnight. We've got a great live band tonight called Body English. We also have some special guests coming down to plug some stuff. The Fours are going to be talking about their position in the international pop overthrow. The Lights Out are promoting a brand new album. They've been away for a little bit, and they've kind of retooled the band. And Pam Vanderfeest is our host this evening, and our good friend Suze is visiting from San Francisco. So it's going to be a really good show.
Nice.
Anytime you want to know about what's going on in the local music scene, you want to tune in to this station from 9 to midnight on the Town with Mikey D. We've been on the air now for mm-hmm. It'll be 30 years.
And you guys have goodness. The best co-hosts that come on and DJs and yeah.
Well, you know, this grew out of when Mikey D first got sick. You know, all of our friends got together and decided to take turns, like kind of keeping the seat warm for him while he was away. And sadly, it didn't turn out that he came back. So, but I thought, you know, when I was handed the reins of the show back in 2003, you know, there was something that I liked about having different hosts every week. They kind of embodied the different personalities of the Boston music scene.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always thought that was a good idea. And, you know, we haven't had a lot of turnover. We've had a couple of people come and go, but we've stuck with a core of great people in the scene that have been involved in the scene for many years. And then have been involved in the show for many years. We got Phil Fleming, who also has a show here on MFO. We've got Andrew Wilson, who's a man about town. We had Michael J. Epstein and Sophia Cassiola before they moved to LA.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we've got Pam and Joe Ellen. Yanis has been involved with the show now for, well over 10 years. I've been involved with the show since 1996.
Yep.
That's amazing.
So I'm celebrating.
I remember one of the first times I was in the studio. I'm like, who is that?
they built this station around me, and then you know I knew Mikey personally. We mm-hmm. we were in a band together. We did a lot of shows together. He was a great mover and shaker in the Boston music scene. There are a lot of bands who owe their small measure of success to Mikey and his efforts to promote the scene, and we all miss him, and we keep the show going in his name for that reason. But we've always been very very friendly to local bands, and there are very few places where you can, you know, get a band to play live.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have to be the next big thing.
Right.
They just have to be good. And we.
I think one of the biggest shocks a few months ago, I was on air and I saw one of my friends in the window, and his band was playing.
Which band was that?
I don't know who he was playing. Well, he is in another band, but I think he was playing drums or like filling in for somebody, so
well, yeah, that's great. And you know, we
Jeff Pilks.
We've been having some great bands here. We're looking forward to 2017. We got a couple of great bands lined up, and we hope to continue this until as long as there's local music, there will always be an On the Town with Mikey D.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, thank you so much, Joel and Mariel, for coming in. And we got, you know, again, we could talk so long
we
for
could.
This. And
we could indeed.
We didn't kill each other, which is good.
And no, then, everybody's alive.
You know,
thank you, Lisa.
Most of the people that I do talk to about this sort of thing want to kill me.
The walls are red, but that's because the people at WMFO painted them
right?
that way. They're not painted with our blood.
You have to understand that I'm so used to Derek, where for the most part, we do
you
have
agree.
Very, very similar.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, But as Derek says every week and his send-off, mine, it is lovely as always. So thank you again. But his is stay safe, everybody.
Keep voting will be mine.
And listen in every Wednesday night, 7 to 9. This is The Big Picture.